Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Ten here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Because Thursday is Thanksgiving, I've been sharing with you all day some stuff that I learned when I toured Waterfront Rescue Mission a couple of months ago, but I just haven't had a chance to get this on the air. So many things have been going on. But I finally figured in the week of Thanksgiving might be appropriate. One of the new things, so, you know, they have day stay. They have 45-day programs of various kinds. They have addiction recovery programs. They have a respite center that they just opened that's to take care of people who have gotten out of the hospital but still need a place to stay and recuperate, basically. And one of the other brand new things that they have expanded to, and that's both men and women, they have both a men's and a women's side for that, is a women's dorm where, you know, women, they have not had that capability before, but they have it now. And Christina Mattis was the director of the women's program at the time. I think she might have left Waterfront since, but this is her kind of showing us these bunk bed area rooms and kind of how that side of the operation works.
Yes, this is our program dorm. So far, we have eight ladies out of the entire 14 beds. So we have eight ladies currently in the program. Majority of them are in training, which means that they basically go through a process of working for 45 days around campus where they get into the routine of, a lot of them haven't even had a routine of waking up on time and going to bed on time. So it kind of gets them in the routine of doing that, being able to be given an assignment, be here at this time, leave at this time, you know, rest on the days you're off, in the routine of actually having a job again so they can hold it once we get them into a job after those 45 days. So through that process, we get them resumes, we kind of work with them, make sure we get through all their skills and get them all their IDs, all the stuff they need to be able to get into a job and to maintain a job, such as a bank account and all that stuff to save their money. Walk through that whole process with them case by case and then get them a job.
And one of the things, you know, if you live what I will just call an ordinary life, okay, you got a home, you got a car, you got a job, you got kids, you're doing your thing. You take for granted some of the stuff that isn't so obvious when you're living homeless. You know, the ability to plan, to schedule, to have routines and structure. I mean, there still will be some, but the idea is to create that stuff, which is that's kind of like the building blocks of an organized life, right, of a stable life. And a lot of times that stuff just doesn't exist. And so all the different ways you can create that help.
Once we get them a job, we kind of go through saving and hopefully saving for whatever it is their personal goals are. Some people want to go back to school, which is great. Some people, they want permanent housing. Majority of them do, which totally get. So we really work on that mainly. But some people also want to save for a car. They want transportation so when they get out of here, they don't end up in a hard space again. So we work with each person depending on what they have, what they don't have, and what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah, and of course, what they're trying to do is get the, you know, needs met for every individual, because it's not just women as a group or homeless women as a group. It's the individual needs and goals, right?
You know, so when they're going through this process, it's 45 to 90 days, but it just depends on how long. If someone takes, you know, if they're going through the process, they're meeting their goals, they're meeting with our chaplain every week, they're doing everything they're supposed to do, and it takes maybe an extra month to be able to get them permanently placed in an apartment that is going to actually work for them as far as their income and all of that stuff, then we will absolutely extend it. You know, there's nothing, we say 45 to 90 days to kind of give the women an idea. They want to know, is this like 2 years? You know, how long am I going to have to stay here? So the requirement's 45 days minimum, but we just kind of say that to give them an idea of how long this process can take so they're mentally prepared. But if they need extra time, which tends to happen, that's completely fine. Once you've joined a program, we're willing to meet you wherever you are. Whatever you need, we try to provide it because we want to help you. You've committed. You want to change. We're trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus to provide whatever you need to be able to make the change, you know?
Absolutely. No, and it's just, it really is neat, all the different dimensions of this operation and what they try to create for these ladies.
This is the whole part of this this portion of the dorm. They get to keep their stuff with them. We give them these, the little gray comforters and sheets, but the goal is to be able to allow them, once they start making money, to go get your own comforter, something that makes you feel like, this is me, make it your own, like that's their bed. And that's a huge deal for them to be able to have something that they can call their own. Mm-hmm. Be able to keep them their stuff with them, which is vastly different from the overnight. They just They get a bedroll from us that's the same as everyone else. They check all of their things in, because obviously you never know. You don't want someone taking your stuff because they haven't, you don't know if they're even gonna come back the next day. That's just to provide immediate shelter. This is to be able to walk through this journey with them and kind of make them feel comfortable.
So again, the single day kind of concept where you come and go every single day with a new set of sheets and whatever, or the long-term concept where you stay in a place and start to build some stability and form some relationships. Unfortunately, they don't have the ability to handle kids for that.
But not kids, right? Just
no,
single women? Okay.
No kids yet. Just because we're not set up for that, we want to make sure. I mean, it took us a long time of planning and preparing to get ready for the women and make sure that we were suitable for them. But because we house men as well, we're very hesitant on making sure we're always being wise and who we're allowing to stay here, making sure they're safe, making sure they're secure, and just being good stewards of that.
And we'll come back to this in a second because there's a couple of more dimensions of it. But one thing is they actually hired several people just specifically to expand into the women's help area. This is Clay Romano. He's the president.
Well, we did hire a ton of women for this program. We have 6 new employees just to take care of the ladies on this side from the various hours during the weekend, of course, on the weekends. We have a program dorm up here that has 14 beds. We currently have 8 ladies that have made the decision to join one of our programs. We're doing work training. We have working homeless and veterans program. So of those 8 ladies, they are working plans that we have in place for them so that they can move to that next level of success, whatever that level needs to be for that individual.
Exactly. We'll come back to this. Like I said, there's a couple of other dimensions of it that I want to explain to you. And I'm going to put a video up so you can watch it if you want to watch it. But, you know, my best way to talk with you is over the air. And so here you go. John Pickens has got traffic on the 5s. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. We're seeing I-10 and I-110 flowing very smoothly. Not seeing any delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, John. So back to Christina Mattis talking about the women's dorm. And one of the elements of this is they actually have a room that functions as kind of a community classroom hangout area for the women.
So this is our classroom. This kind of area, just so you know, it's not furnished yet. This is just temporary things that I found around the mission to kind of give them a place to sit. But this whole room will be redecorated to have more seating spaces for the women, desks and stuff for them to actually work in. This whole portion is really, the main goal is to allow a space for the program ladies to come. And if they need to color, we got them coloring books, some color pencils, reading, puzzles. I mean, being here, yes, while they're working on themselves, they're always busy. But there's going to come times just like how we face every day where you just need some time. Just to take a moment for yourself and just get back into a headspace of knowing, you know, I'm here temporarily. I can do this. I can get through this. Especially because a lot of them do suffer with mental health issues, anxiety, and other disorders that they have a hard time coping with. When they're going through this process, they don't know anyone here.
Yeah, and it's, you know, aside from being outside when, you know, everything is uncertain and stressful and risky, inside is better. But inside, when you can start to have a bit of stability, that taste of normal, that feeling of safety, of predictability, of, you know, a life that's the constant stimulant and scare, you know, fight or flight kind of reflexes that it produces, and then have a place where you can really let your guard down a little bit and just relax and kind of recover the way we all just take it for granted, right?
That's also the goal of the space, is to, yes, have classes to be able to teach them how to cope with these things, but also the goal of the classes. And like, for example, we have Alicia Tappan who wants to do like hour-long retreats with the women to have them come in here. And the goal is kind of to have them build bonds, you know, have fellowship with each other to where when they're going through this process, they can support each other, they can go through it together, and they can start not walking alone. And that's also another big part. When they join a program, we have them go to church every Sunday. That's part of the contract to make sure at the end of this, we want them to be able to have roots in the community. When they leave here, we won't be able to go with them. I mean, of course, I'd love to stay in touch with every person, but at the end of all this, years down the line, there's going to be hundreds of people that have come and gone and have done great things. And we'll always stay in touch, but we won't be able to stay in touch daily the way that someone would need to have someone walk through life with them. So that's why we require that, so they can go and they can start making those connections early from day one of being in the program.
Man, I'll tell you, that part of it, too, is the building relationships part. You know, if you're all on your own, feeling isolated, it's very easy to let things overwhelm you. I remember when just, this is going to maybe seem like a silly comparison, but what it made me think of is when I was in college being in the dorms, you had all these other people that are doing the same thing you're doing, going through the same stuff you're doing. You can build relationships with them, and it's easy because you're always bumping into each other. You're always close to other people. You know, when you move out and you live on your own and you're in a house or whatever and you're separated from people, it's you have to kind of work to make relationships happen. That's why they most naturally happen at places where you bump into people, like at church or at work or, you know, at some social event or whatever. But, you know, the ordinary bustle of life is pretty isolating. So instead, if you have these people who are kind of together working on a shared project in a shared space, building relationships, making friends might seem like almost a trivial thing, but it's not a trivial thing because having other people that you can depend on, interact with, ask questions of, bounce ideas off of, all that kind of stuff is, you know, that's the social fabric that we all kind of take for granted, but is so important to have in your life, right?
So when they leave here, they have somewhere they can go. They have people surrounding them who are actually supporting them, who if they need anything, they can be there for them. Because honestly, surprisingly, the biggest thing, yes, they don't have food majority of the time. Majority of the time, they don't have the resources they need. But the biggest thing that majority of them don't have, which is why they've ended up where they have ended up, so they didn't have support. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the people who were there for them, who should have been there for them. And because of that, that's why it's a huge deal for us to be here and be those people for them. So that's what me and the chaplains and the entire staff, that's kind of what our role is to walk through life with them, be the support they need. Other than that, they're doing it all on their own. We're just guiding them, you know, being the person to walk with them.
And, you know, the last thing that I wanted to know, because this is such a new program, having the women's side for Waterfront, which, again, this is a Waterfront Rescue Mission. And, you know, this is an organization that we support with our money. Like, there's about five or six local organizations that we directly support all the time with our money. And this is one of them because I really believe in what they're doing. And our basic criteria is if they're promoting the gospel and doing the gospel, you know, like it needs to be Christian-based is how we make our decision. If it's Christian-based and if it's genuinely doing the gospel of helping the poor, then, you know, we'll support them. Anyway, the question I had was, okay, so you've got like these 14 beds over here and you've got a handful of beds for just day stay, you know, overnight stay, whatever. How big of a demand is it for the women? Because I think the picture of homelessness is often very male-centric, which is a lot of men. You know, I just didn't really know how, you know, are they full? Are they over? Are they under? What kind of capacity is my question.
Can you talk about capacity, like across the various things that you offer? Are you able to help more and there's not enough demand, short on capacity? Is it different based on which kind of service you're offering?
So right now, the most women we've had overnight is 33. When we first started, like the first couple of days, I think the first night we had around 12 women stay overnight.
14.
But the biggest amount we've had so far is 33, so it's quickly growing. I mean, this is week four. It is getting big fast. And we've already started having those conversations of what happens when the program dorm fills up? Where are the women going to go? We want to be able to offer those programs. As far as like overnight, what happens when it fills up? The demand is so great, which is why we knew the Lord called us to do this in the first place. We were prepared for it, but we're already having ideas of how to expand. But yeah, the demand is growing, absolutely. There's just a lot of need for it.
So. Particularly for the women.
Particularly for the women, yes. The men have been great, and they have their space, and they've been utilizing it very well. They've gotten in the routine of being able to organize everything to keep them moving forward and have enough space to welcome everyone. But with the women, you know, we had no idea what to expect. And it was way bigger than we were anticipating, which is a wonderful blessing. And the Lord didn't provide for us to expand, you know, to be able to meet that need. So
I still just wrapping my brain around the number of people that need these services, that need this help, that can be helped, and that, you know, local organizations are doing their very best to help. 7:23 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, especially as we get into the cold part of the year, you know, especially as we get into the hungry part of the year, where it's just everything is more of a challenge, right? Anyway, I just wanted to raise some awareness about this and hadn't had a chance to and wanted to share it with you here as it's Thanksgiving week. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We'll be back in just a second.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
One of my favorite church hymns on the topic of prayer is entitled, I Must Tell Jesus. The four verses deal with two topics, handling heavy burdens and fighting sinful temptation. Here are the words to the first verse. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. That's powerful, right? Here are the words of the fourth verse. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus and he will help me over the world the victory to win. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you're facing today, whether it's heavy burdens or it's sinful temptation, take time to pray and tell Jesus and let him work in your life.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone.
In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org. This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
We'll have a look at all things holiday in downtown Pensacola, including tree lights, holiday cubes, and where you can find Santa.
Santa! Here's a Santa!
Today at 10, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Holy frack!
I remember as a kid feeling like I had discovered some secret loophole to the universe that I could quote Battlestar Galactica and nobody could punish me for it. Hey, if Boomer and Apollo were saying it, it must be fine, you know? It can't be a swear word. Did you know that Glenn Larson's a Latter-day Saint?
No.
Yeah, the whole concept. I mean, if you think about, like, the 12 worlds and all of the distant, separated portions of humanity out in the universe,
right?
You know, you kind of start to see some parallels, you know, with the Mormon way of thinking. But I don't know. It's, you know, I always thought that was fascinating, kind of after the fact. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives first. I didn't mean to skip you.
I know. I feel left out. Anyway, okay. No accidents to let you know about right now. We're not seeing any delays on I-10 through the construction zone, but you're going to see some delays at the intersection of 9 Mile and Highway 29. Right there, just due to congestion, but there are minor delays there. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A Massachusetts man is facing jail time after threatening to bomb a synagogue. John Reardon pleaded guilty in federal court in Boston yesterday. He threatened to bomb the congregation Aguda Akim and kill children in a voicemail he left with that synagogue back in January, then called and threatened a second synagogue moments later. The decision on whether to resentence the Menendez brothers is being postponed. A judge has delayed any decision on their request until January 30th, when a two-day hearing will be held. Lyle and Eric Menendez joined in on a hearing yesterday via an audio link from the prison where they're housed, but they did not speak during that hearing. And Andrew, the 2024 Word of the Year from Dictionary.com is in, and it is demure. Apparently, the word has skyrocketed in usage this year due to TikToker Jules LeBron's use of the phrase very demure, very mindful in his TikTok videos.
Yeah.
I had no idea how influential TikTok really is on everything.
Crazy. It's scary. Yeah. It really is. Also, I don't think they're using that word right.
No.
I feel like Vizzini Princess Bride. I don't think that word means what you think it means.
It says here, the word traditionally describes those who are reserved or modest, but in the new usage of it has come to describe someone who seems sophisticated.
Yeah, that's not what it means. That's exactly not what it means. In fact, that's almost the opposite of what it means. I just can't believe it.
TikTok is
using
that word. Right.
I don't think it means what you think it means.
Exactly.
Nice.
David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. I can't go on. We did learn yesterday a little bit more in the drama surrounding Congressional District 1 vacated by Matt Gaetz being plucked out to run for Secretary of Attorney General, and then, you know, basically deciding, no, we can't do that anymore. So now you have, I think we got five that are in right now. We've got Michelle Salzman has opted out, so she's staying in the State House. Joel Rudman has opted in. Now, whether he's really was in for sure or whether he got kind of tricked into resigning too quickly before President Trump endorsed Jimmy Patronis, the CFO, who does not live in district but is going to move here. Jimmy Patronis is another one. Gene Valentino, I know, is still in, has said so. I've talked to him. And then Charlie Kiebrauer is also in. I'm sorry, I don't know his last name very well. And then Jeff Witt is still in, who we talked to yesterday. He also emphasized it's important to have a local and a military person in. So you have at least, what is that, five, I think, so far that are actually in for the special election. And there's going to have to be a separate special election to replace Joel Rudman's seat, too.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President-elect Trump says he'll make imports from Canada, Mexico, and China more expensive. Fox's Madeline Rivera.
President-elect Trump says these tariffs would be aimed at stopping the flow of drugs and migrants coming into the United States. He wrote on Truth Social, "I will sign all the necessary documents to charge Mexico and Canada a 25% tariff on all products coming into the United States and its ridiculous open borders."
He wants 10% added to existing China tariffs. Most economists say American consumers would just end up paying higher prices. Incoming Trump border czar Tom Homan's visiting the border today with Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
We're not waiting to January 20th. We're already planning what we're going to do to lock down the state of Texas.
Homan on Fox and Friends this morning. Drugs that treat obesity would be covered by Medicare and Medicaid under a Biden administration proposal that would need Trump approval by the time it gets that far. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got mostly cloudy skies. It is 67 degrees in Pensacola. A Nicaraguan man in jail after a hit-and-run crash on Palafox near Airport Boulevard. That happened on Saturday morning. FHP says a 19-year-old Pensacola man was riding a motorcycle when a truck turned in front of him. The rider suffered serious injuries and was taken to Baptist Hospital. Troopers say the truck fled the scene but was later found in Warrington. The driver was identified as Omar Isabel Mejia Duarte. He was arrested for driving with no license and leaving the scene of a crash with injuries. He's currently being held in the Escambia County Jail with no bond. A 19-year-old from Mississippi arrested after a chase in Dufuniac Springs. Deputies in Walton County say they attempted to stop a vehicle driven by a man later identified as Max Parker Marie, but they say he fled and ended up crashing. Deputies say Marie tried to flee on foot but was then apprehended. A short time later, he's being held on $5,000 bond at the jail there. The fall red snapper season's been extended another 17 days. Here's the revised dates, November 28th through the 30th. That's the Thanksgiving holiday break. December dates, the 6th through the 8th, the 13th through the 15th, the 20th through the 22nd, and December 24th through New Year's Eve. Boat captains reporting a spectacular fishing season now underway. Well, the teenager that placed swatting calls and disrupted classes at the high school in Milton back in 2022 has now been sentenced to 2 years in prison.
He got 2 years because when he made the phone call to us, he was 17.
Okay.
But they sentenced him as an adult, and that's why he got state prison. And it just goes to show that if you do make these calls, we're going to track you down, and we don't care where you're at. We're going to extradite you back, and you're going to probably go to prison.
Sheriff Bob Johnson, he says this case proves his investigators will get anybody that makes these types of calls to a school in Santa Rosa County. The calls were made February through April in 2022, and then 17-year-old Brad Parga called authorities, reported several hoax shootings and bomb threats. One of those calls caused a major disruption at Milton High School. Rick Scott accusing some Democrats of being communist sympathizers. Scott yesterday called on President Biden to reject a plea from some House Democrats to remove Cuba from the state sponsor of terrorism list. California Democrat Congresswoman Barbara Lee and others say they want Biden to remove the designation to make it easier to provide Cuba with hurricane relief aid. Scott says removing Cuba from that list would further jeopardize national security, and he says he believes removing the designation would not just be ignorant, but dangerous as well. Now, there's just a few days now until Thanksgiving. That means the skies and the highways are all extra crowded. Peter Greenberg, a travel editor, says more than 80 million people will be traveling this year. A lot of them are taking a full week off instead of the normal 2 days over Thanksgiving.
Especially in the post-pandemic world. And the smart travelers know it's a better way to do it. First of all, because the airfares will be different and better. And also the roads will be less crowded.
And Greenberg says that they're expecting a lot of travelers at airports all throughout the state of Florida. Tomorrow's expected to be the busiest day at the airports, followed by Sunday as people head back home. 7:35 right now, News Radio 92.3, and John's got our traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now, but we are seeing some delays on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. It's just a small little delay through that construction zone, but I wanted you to be aware of that. Also seeing some delays at 9 Mile and Highway 29 at that intersection, both north and southbound. Just some congestion delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have a warm day today with a high near 74 degrees, partly cloudy skies, 20% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. For Wednesday, 10% chance of a stray sprinkle, high near 75 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 69. For Thanksgiving, 30% chance of rain early in the day, high near 75 and a low near 47. Stay connected to Channel 3 News' First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 67 degrees right now in Pensacola. It is 68 in Gulf Breeze, and we've got 63 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Adani Group is staring at trouble on several fronts as investors and partners rethink ties with the Indian conglomerate in the wake of bribery and fraud accusations by U.S. authorities. Projects and investments tied to the Indian conglomerate's businesses spanning across the world have come under the spotlight following the U.S. indictment of its billionaire founder on bribery and fraud charges last Thursday. Rumble said that it will begin allocating a portion of its excess cash reserves to Bitcoin and making purchases of up to $20 million in the cryptocurrency. Shares rose nearly 4% in extended trading. Blockchain founder Justin Sun has invested $30 million into President-elect Donald Trump's crypto project, World Liberty Financial. The platform aspires to be a sort of digital asset bank where customers can be encouraged to borrow, lend, and invest in digital coins. Futures are mixed. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 440. The NASDAQ closed flat. That's Your Money Now.
Locally owned and operated, Pensacola Poolscapes offers a lot more than pool liner replacement and pool supplies. Imagine unwinding after a long day in your own luxurious spa where relaxation meets elegance. At Pensacola Poolscapes, they have a stunning selection of high-quality bullfrog spas and swim spas, perfect for soothing those aches, getting fit, and relaxing. And right now, they're offering end-of-summer rebate just in time to enjoy the upcoming fall weather. Visit them online at PensacolaPoolscapes.com or on Gulf Breeze Parkway across from Tiger Point.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins.
People still trying to digest this election. Mm-hmm. And people are celebrating other people, are wondering what went wrong.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays 11 till 2 after Pep Talk.
One of the questions is legacy media. Because it's the same talking
same
points.
It is, yeah.
And that for a lot of people, it really doesn't matter to them anymore.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays 11 till 2 before Guy Benson. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Thank you.
7:39, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. A happy Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Chip Simmons is our sheriff in Escambia County. Chip, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Happy Thanksgiving in advance.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Is your family a one-meal or a two-meal family?
We are a one-meal family. Unfortunately, my two boys are two-meal families. Oh. I say, unfortunately, it depends on your outlook on things.
For them, it's good. Yeah. I kind of admire people who can pull off two Thanksgiving dinners in a day. I mean, I feel like that's, you know, that's superhero stuff. I can't do it anymore.
I had to do it, and I said, I'm just going to have one helping and then go to the second meal, but that never works out because there's desserts and all sorts
of things. I'm always amazed, you know, we're usually like three or four is when we eat something like that, and then by about nine, my boys are like, what's for dinner? I'm like, what? Dude, you just ate. And they're like, yeah, 5 hours ago. I'm like, yeah, just. But, you know.
Help yourself.
Yeah, guys, it's all there in the kitchen.
Still out, yeah.
It's all there in the kitchen. I did all the work already. You know, that's on you now.
There's a pie over there.
That's right. That's right. Oh, that's actually a good question. Let me make a note here. All right, there we go. You made me think.
That knows what this is going to be.
No. Okay. So I do the frivolous topic, right? Where we argue about things that don't matter. But I'm always getting ideas from the weirdest of places. And I'm not saying you're a weird place, but. Kind of, I got an idea from you. So
I've been called worse.
It's all gonna work out in the end. So one thing is that we had a break in at some cars at a retirement village. Is that right?
Yeah, some clown decided that he would take advantage of an opportunity, I guess, and try to break into some cars at
like opening doors or actually breaking windows and breaking in.
We got a call that this guy's trying to break into cars in the parking lot of a. Assisted living facility, which is on Crossville Street. An employee witnessed 43-year-old Jacob Edward Whalen attempt to break into a vehicle in the facility's parking lot. So they call the sheriff's office. We get there, and when we get there, this guy takes off. He is wearing a blue Florida Gators sweatshirt. I'm not saying that for any reason other than it's easy
it's
to
just
spot
identifying,
these type
right.
of people. And then he also had a green A's or Oakland A's. Still Oakland A's?
Yeah. Oh, I guess. I don't know.
It was green
yeah.
Oakland A's.
So real blendy. He was really, really blending into the background here.
Yeah.
Okay.
It bad camouflage is what I call it. But anyways, he took off running. Unfortunately for him, we had a canine walker in the area. We unleashed the canine, and we ended up picking him up near a church parking lot. So he was charged with, who's he also a registered criminal, a registered felon. And we arrested and charged with attempted vehicle burglary. So that happened on the 21st. So good job to our deputies. Good job to an observant employee there. Mm-hmm. And also, obviously, a good job to Canine Walker, who was named after fallen deputy Roosevelt Walker.
How long can a canine hold a suspect, in practice? Is this like 30 seconds, 5 minutes? Like, how long can he sit there and chew on his leg and growl at him and keep him in submission?
You mean how long do they decide to do it? They would probably do it as long as they're...
That's what I'm wondering. Like, you know, they're waiting until the handler to come and release them, but, you know.
Yeah. Typically, they're on lead whenever we do that.
Okay.
If it's a felony suspect or if it's something that we're trying to... If we see him and we're, you know, they won't comply, then they will get them off lead. It's usually less than 20, 30 seconds that they have to hold on to them. Usually, they get the point pretty well.
So they don't really get to the point where the suspect becomes a chew toy.
No, unless the suspect continues to fight, then
they get what they get.
You know,
okay, yeah. All right. I was just curious, you know, how long they can subdue or keep somebody subdued. And, you know, my brain asked weird questions. That was one of them. Let's see. You guys have. You're also using your. I don't know what you call them. The cameras that are on like portable bases that they can put up a tower and see the whole area. I saw them at Blue Angels Weekend out on the Pensacola Beach, and I've seen them around at different places. You've deployed some of those for things at the fair, right? And you've deployed some of those for Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, if you recall, we're still trying to ramp up our real-time crime center, which integrates the cameras that are already out in our community into this one location.
I thought that was already active.
It is. It's active. But we're ramping it up, getting more and more capable every time
we...
You.
Always expanding ability.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We're trying to get more cameras, as we talked about before, on off of Massachusetts, where we're continuing to add cameras and bring them online. So to me, when I say ramp up, it's because I have this vision of having a pretty decent network on the roadways where we can monitor traffic and try to find the criminals off of it. So we, in the process of doing so, we had the opportunity to purchase some little small trailers, but there's like a telescoping type of camera system on it, and then there's like four or five cameras on the top of that. It's solar powered, but also has a generator backup, so we can deploy them. It's not secret. It's marked, you know, green.
Oh yeah, you
and
can't
gold.
Miss them. If you get near one, you'll know what you've got near. Yeah,
yeah. So we started looking out in the back parking lot and thought, well, why wouldn't we put these out? Big shopping opportunities are coming around, and we anticipate a lot of people in these various parking lots. So we thought we would put them in parking lots just for added security. Not saying that the shopping centers themselves or the stores themselves don't have their own surveillance, but this is tied directly to our real-time crime center. And so we're having one. We have already deployed it on 9 Mile Road, the Target on 9 Mile and University, I guess. And then we have one at the Tradewind Shopping Center. And then we have one at Academy,
University Mall. Okay.
Yeah. So we're putting those three up already, and we may actually deploy one in another area as we start to look at
how many of those do you have.
We have five total.
You have five. Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes they're on loan because people know we have them, and we put them typically where there's a large crowd. We'll probably have one at Five Flags Speedway. You know, we'll have one at any time we have a large event. They work very well. Again, they're solar powered, so they can stay for days at a time.
Do you find that they serve as an effective deterrent in the
area?
I think
that's the greatest value of them. Yeah. I know that if I was shopping, I would park near that camera.
Yeah.
As I'm walking in and out of a store, when I come with my, whatever shopping gifts I've picked up. But also just for the sake of people leaving my car alone.
Yeah.
I would find that location, park as close as I can.
You may not be able
to park.
It's
like you want to park under a light.
Right. Yeah. There may not be a cop to park by, but you can park by the cop tower, you know, and that's the same thing.
Again, it's
better.
So everyone knows it is a direct feed to our real-time crime center. Now, I can't promise that an analyst is watching that particular camera every time. But I can tell you if there's anything suspicious at all, we pop it up and we can relay that to the deputies that may be arriving.
Again, my brain asks these kind of questions. Has anybody parked under your Escambia County Sheriff's Office camera tower and proceeded to engage in illegal activity themselves?
Not that we have. Okay. Not that we have noticed. They're not quite that brave. We were concerned about people tearing up a camera.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but we have a camera that also points down at our camera, and unless you get all, I guess you could wear your hoodie and some sort
your
of
Florida Gators, Oakland A's
ensemble.
If
you do that, we'll notice what you're doing. Tear it up. And they're pretty expensive, so it's certainly a felony, and we should have a pretty good picture of you.
We're talking
and
to
we
Sheriff,
will make you famous. You will,
even more so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons. We'll be back to him in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. You were talking about cameras on Massachusetts, elsewhere, the camera towers. We're about halfway through the ShotSpotter 3-year term. Is that right?
Yeah, about halfway through.
It seems like we haven't heard much about that lately. Is it...
They work in conjunction. I think that maybe there's not as many shots being fired. Maybe there's good news there to be had. And when I say maybe, it's because the numbers are down. I agree with you. We haven't had as many shots.
I will take that. This is not a complaint. That's good news.
I mean, this is what I envisioned with the increase in cameras and the roadways and our ability and desire to stop stolen cars, spin them around and get them stopped pretty quickly. Word has spread. I mean, we have undercover operatives out there in the community, and word has spread. You know, don't meet me over here because I know there's a camera, or if you do it, I can't drive this car because it's they know about it, and I don't want them to pass. They don't know where all of our cameras are, all of our license plate readers are. Mm-hmm. You could probably study and guess if you want, but my thought and my hope is that it's a deterrent, like the cameras are going to be. That people decide, you know what, this isn't, I can't do it. So maybe, and then hopefully it'll pass.
And look, a world in which the criminals are concerned that there might be cameras or plate readers or whatever in places that they're not expecting, that's a world where they're discouraged from committing crimes. And they may, you know, whether that means they don't do crimes at all or whether that means that they go somewhere other than Escambia County, we'll take it either way.
Well, and I do think that there's an opportunity or there's a possibility, a pretty good possibility that, you know, if I'm inclined to hurt somebody or harm someone with a weapon and I want to do it right now, mm-hmm. you know, they're not thinking rationally. They want to do it right now. But if they think, oh, I can't do that because I can't get there from here and I'm not sure and the cops might see me and I don't have an extra, you know, hoodie or anything, then maybe they don't do it, and then the next day they decide it's not worth it.
The time and space needed to calm down. Yeah. You know, maybe
count
solve to
10,
problem.
Maybe you take count, it. You know, a couple hours to go will go by, and you don't feel the need to commit this crime.
You have also been launching the co-responder program, something that I'm assuming is sort of similar to what PPD does, but you tell me if it's different and in what ways. And I know you were chief there for a long time, so it's a lot of things you did there you've brought over here. And I mean, but co-responders, tell me what that means.
Our co-responder unit is a sworn deputy with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office co-responding with a clinician from the Lakeview Center.
Okay.
And what they do is they handle preemptive type of conversations with people that are on their list, that are clients, so that they make sure that they're on the medication that they need. But also they make sure that the people that they encounter, many homeless people, get the resources that they need. Mm-hmm. So we have a specialist. You know, we have a deputy that's also been trained in how to handle those that have a mental illness, but also a Lakeview Center, which is the state of the art for regards to dealing with the mentally ill. And that allows our deputies on the street to answer calls for service without being bogged down or tied up for hours with a banker act or something that they have to do. Now, I don't know what PPD has at this point. But
it sounds pretty similar is what it sounds like to me.
Our system, I know, is only one of only two in the state of Florida where we have Miami-Dade has a system similar to us, where we have a mental health unit that is both a co-responder unit, but plus a unit that's internal to our sheriff's office and offers resources to our employees for PTSD and you know high profile type investigations that they might deal with.
Okay. Yeah, I actually went. I was at Lakeview yesterday, sitting down with Dr. Joseph for about an hour. Stuff we'll publish a little bit later on, you know, probably next week sometime. But you know, learning a lot about you know what they deal with, and it's nice to see the you know law enforcement working with clinicians, working with Lakeview, you know, trying to get solutions and not just you know arrest our way out of a problem that is really not an arresting situation, right?
So well, we talked about it when I was with the as county administrator. I was also chief corrections officer and. And most of the people that were in the infirmary were there for mental illness. So obviously there's a need there. And I think that we would be you know, doing a disservice if we didn't address that need where it was.
Yeah. I mean, and it's a financial save. It's better for them and it's better for the county because, you know, it costs a whole lot less to treat somebody and there's funds available usually than it is to incarcerate them.
Well, our operation is from a grant. We have a grant to fund three deputies and three clinicians. Now, once that grant's over, we're about halfway through that grant as well. It's one of those things where you evaluate after the grant and whether you want to adopt it in your general fund budget, or if you want to try to get a grant. We continue to try to get you know recurring grants, so we'll do that. I can tell you that you talked about two things. You talked about a shot spotter. I'm still trying to determine whether that's worth the funding if it comes from our budget. But I can tell you that the co-responder unit is certainly worth it, and I would certainly have a conversation with the county commission about funding that after the grant is over. It's only three deputies, but it's three deputies that do a much-needed service.
Very good. Sheriff Chip Simmons is the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for innovating, coming up with new and better ways to do things all the time. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
752 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The holidays are right around the corner. Here's why you should hit up Jim's Firearms in November. 1. Beat the holiday rush. 2. The best selection. Find exactly what you're looking for before it's all gone. 3. Pay with layaway. Lock in your gun purchase now and pay over 60 days. 4. More time for customization. And 5. More time to take it easy and have a stress-free season. Shop smart and local with Jim's Firearms. Jim's Firearms at the corner of Sorrento Road and Blue Angel Parkway.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you we could help you reach your audience while they're at a sporting event? Let ADX Digital help you connect to your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with us today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
May go my ego, please.
We're going to dance and have some fun.
dig. By the way, can we all just admit the thing that is true? We're old enough to admit this. Legos are terrible. Or Eggos, sorry, are terrible. The Legos are fantastic. I
yeah, that's what I was about
no,
to say.
Sorry, I got the ad in my head. Eggos are terrible.
They are.
They're not good.
No.
You make a real waffle.
Exactly.
Waffles are easy. They're, you know, buy yourself a little waffle maker. Oh, my God. Waffles are so easy to make, so easy to be good. And that little formerly frozen hockey puck is, I mean, that's brilliant marketing.
It was.
That
yeah.
They can make you believe that's good food. Because they're not. And also, they're really small. Let's see. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
Right. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone and even past Highway 29 exit. We're seeing some delays if you're going eastbound with that. Also, some minor delays if you're approaching westbound to the Highway 29 construction zone. Just seeing a 5 to 7 minute delay there. Other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Somebody texted in with the resignation of Joel Rudman from his state District 3 seat, his House seat, District 3. Will DeSantis appoint a replacement or will there be a special election? No, it has to be a special election. So that seat is going to be vacant from January 1st through whenever, and it will not be contemporaneous. It will not be the same time as the special election for the congressional seat, District 1. Tappy Valena, I asked her yesterday, supervisor of elections in Santa Rosa County. And no, you would think it could be, but she said, no, it just can't be. And so I guess by Michelle not resigning, that gives us the benefit of not having to go through that same rigmarole. I also think it's a really interesting question. Who's going to run for that seat, District 3, that is vacated by Joel Rudman? I can think of some names. But I can't think of a lot of names. I think Nathan Boyles, maybe, out of Okaloosa might run. I'm not sure about any Santa Rosa County commissioners. You know, I would have maybe said Sam Parker would try it for it, but I think he's done. I think he doesn't want to. Maybe Dave Peach, former commissioner. I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting question to see. Jeff Snow, I suppose, theoretically. But I don't think he wants it. I don't think he wants politics anymore either. He had enough. Milton was enough for anybody. I'm done. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headline. Probably going to be somebody's name we're not thinking of. Chris Smith, maybe. He said before he'd be interested in doing that. He actually came on the show and announced he was running for, I think, that seat. And then he didn't, if I remember right. Man, it's been a while. It's been a couple of years. Anyway, David Wayne is in the news. Gulf Coast gun owner. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President-elect Trump is promising to impose new tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and China. In his first day in office, Trump posted on Truth Social yesterday, saying that he plans to enact tariffs of 25% on all Canadian and Mexican goods with another 10% tariff on all Chinese goods.
You mean Canadian goods, eh?
Yeah.
You know what they said.
I believe
they,
that's it, yeah.
No tariffs, you hoser. All right, go on, David.
Well, closing arguments are over in Google's second antitrust trial in 2 years. The search giant and Department of Justice wrapped up their case Monday in federal court. The government alleges that Google has achieved a monopoly by buying up all their competitors. And Walmart is now rolling back diversity initiatives. They're pulling LGBTQ merchandise from shelves and shutting down a nonprofit that funds programs, diversity programs. The Walmart is one of several companies now pulling the plug on these DEI programs in the face of conservative backlash.
And what's the new phrase? I said it last. Belonging. We now have belonging initiatives at Walmart.
Belonging?
Not even kidding. Literally, that's what they're doing. Belonging initiatives. Yeah, so that's your new buzz phrase. Learn how to be belonging positive.
That can't even be real.
No, look it up. Seriously. Yeah, I love he's fact checking me on something. That's awesome.
God, it is. Somebody stop this rock. I got to get off.
I feel like the guys at The Onion or the guys at Babylon B, like, you can't write satire as fast as reality is producing the nonsense.
No.
It's
this
crazy.
Is,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to Friday.
That'll be good. David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. What was the other thing? Oh, here you go. The Democratic National Committee, is going to be electing a new leader. I didn't know the Democrats had a leader already. I mean, who would be the leader of the Democratic Party? It's not Biden. It's not Harris. Who would it be? Adam Schiff? Like, I don't know. Who is it going to be? You know, Chuck Schumer? Gavin Newsom? No, apparently a guy named Jamie Harrison is the current chair. I follow politics pretty well. Never heard of him. Never heard this name in my entire life. And they're going to announce somebody new. We'll see. Exciting times.